Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy connecting the light. May I first wish you all a happy new year and tell you that my guests today are Sri Ramkar and Kira Ra, who are terrifically energetic people. They do an enormous amount of work on spiritual growth, healing and global transformation. And since 2002, they have written the best-selling Sacred Union, The Journey Home, and four other books on 2012, which you'll obviously realise is something that they have quite some knowledge on, to say the least, and love to talk about, which of course we will in the course of the programme. So may I welcome both Sri and Kira to Connecting the Light.
It's our honour and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. Now, Kira, I'll ask you a question first, just to start off. In case some of our listeners aren't aware, what do you mean by calling yourself an angelic oracle?
Well, I appreciate that you asked that question, and, you know, it's really quite a beautiful question, and it was actually Archangel Zadkiel who offered that name or that recognition as an angelic oracle. I was born a very, very clairvoyant child, you know, to the dismay of my parents. They really didn't understand what was happening as I was a child, and I often used to be told to stop telling people what their dead grandparents were telling them because it was really very horrifying for my parents.
Oh, yeah.
And in 1989, I had a near-death experience and died on the table of cancer. And after my near-death experience and subsequently in the years after that leading up to meeting Sri Ramkar, I reestablished this extraordinary connection that at first I really didn't understand. And then after Sri and I got together, the archangelic realm started coming through me in a way that I wasn't aware of, and as they started coming through and bringing more and more of this beautiful messages through the process known as archangelic ensoulment, it was during one of these messages that Archangel Zadkiel said, it is important for you to use the term angelic oracle so that others understand the energy, the light, the love, and the presence that is coming through you at this moment in history without interfering with the path of any other.
Right. Now, you have been together with Sri, I gather, for some years, although not an enormous length of time. How was it you came to know your mission together?
Well, you know, I love that you asked that question. Sri and I really, you know, I love how the universe keeps us on a need-to-know basis. And Sri and I met, we had both been married before, we had both been at a different levels of our awakening, and we're an internet success story, we actually met online, and shortly after we got together for the first time,
we were walking in the beautiful desert area, desert-like area anyway, of Sedona, Arizona, and as we were gazing out at a vista, looking at the clouds, the sky, the blue, the sun,
yes.
Kira collapsed.
Which I'm sure you could imagine would not be a good first date.
and as she was just literally going ragdoll on me, I was holding her hand at the time, so I caught her, no injuries, no foul, she just collapsed. And in a moment, I was looking at her, I was stunned and startled, and her body shook a little bit, and then she stood up, or sat up, so tall, so strongly that I was stunned, because, her eyes opened wide, and there was this glow and this energy coming from her, and a voice came out of her mouth that was unlike anything I'd ever heard before, the accent, the intonation. And the voice said, "We're so delighted you found each other." And to which my response was, "Who are you?"
Yes.
As you could imagine. And this beautiful voice proceeded to basically share with Sri and I that if we chose, this would, you know, it unveiled what our mission was for the planet and how it would unveil itself, and that's really how it all came forward, and we really had to make some decisions.
You know, right. it wasn't your ordinary coffee table conversation, I'll tell you that.
Oh. quite unique by the sound.
Yes.
How many years ago did your teaching mission start then? How long?
Well, seven.
7 years ago. We got together physically in late 2002, and that at that time when we really stood in each other's presence, there was this magnetism, this energy field interaction that informed our consciousness. You know, I think we all get used to looking at the world a certain way. We have our habitual orientation toward life, and periodically we like to lift the curtain and expand it a little bit. But every once in a while, life gives us an opportunity to take a quantum leap. And that's what happened when Kira and I got together. It was the energy release of our combined energies was so amazing that for we both felt like we were going crazy for a period of time. We were releasing structures and paradigms and old beliefs about who we thought we were. The portals were opening to communion, to other realms. And the one thing that kept us going and kept us sane, so to speak, was the amazing amount of loving reassurance. The energy of love was tangible, palpable, and present in every dialogue. There was never an invitation to judge, to fear, to create hierarchy. And what we've learned over the years is that the truth of the universe is that unconditional acceptance, that nourishment that says to all, we love you, we respect you, enjoy your journey. And by the way, if you want to, here's an idea that will expand the process.
Right.
Yeah, those very ideas, those suggestions are what we've compiled in our various books and shared our own life experiences around them.
Yes. Now, you were clearly meant to meet. I don't believe in coincidence as such. Could I suggest that perhaps you are soulmates?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it was one of the blessings was when Sri and I, we write a lot about this in our first book, Sacred Union, The Journey Home. And one of the things that happened was I had had a very prophetic vision of our past life experience together. And Sri and I were sitting, we were in this little rental RV, and we were on our way out into the desert at the behest of the archangelic realm, when we were sitting at the table, and Sri suddenly started having the same vision. I never shared with him what I had already seen. He just started sharing it back. And when we ignited this extraordinary recognition of the continuation of our journey and the reason that we came together at this moment in history on this planet right now, it further escalated the journey and, quite frankly, opened up the window as to all the work we're doing on 2012. You know, up until that point, Mike, we had no idea we were going to be so involved with the 2012 work or the Maya or any of that, and it really started unfolding. So yes, definitely soulmates. Definitely it's beyond that. It's as if we're literally one soul inhabiting two bodies.
Right, yes. So your spiritual inspiration comes from the angelic contacts you have, but presumably also from within, because it sounds to me as though you're both what one might call old souls. You've clearly got a lot of wisdom and experience between you.
Well, it's very true. I think each of us is on a path of rediscovering the truth of our own vastness, the truth of who we really are. And through the archangelic dialogues, we began to settle into a state of beingness where our history as a soul became more available to our consciousness. Some people, it's an interesting thing to describe when one can simply relax and have knowings about the universe, knowings about who we are that weren't given. They're just revealed.
You know, it's a beautiful moment, Mike. I enjoy the work you do, and I've spent a lot of time looking at your website and how you're moving it forward. And one of the blessings is that, as with yourself, you understand this. When you trust, when you allow the flow to start coming through you, then we have this delight of this revelation that all of us have brought ourselves to this moment, to this juncture, through a divine gift of recognition. And how we choose to open that divine gift is as individual and unique as every being on the planet.
Yes, yes. Indeed, I agree with you entirely. Now, just before I get on to some of your teachings and items in your books, you've just come back from Guatemala. It would be interesting to know what you were doing there, and was it successful?
Well, thank you for asking. You know, I'm smiling broadly because as you and I are sitting here chatting right now, not only did we just get back from Guatemala, but 1 week from today we're going back, and we are currently finishing our next book, which is called 2013 Mayan Sunrise, which is actually due to our publisher in 2 days. And so
all
I'm
right,
delighted,
yeah.
Yeah, delighted to have this moment on the phone with you. And okay. The reason I mention that is we didn't realize how much of a heart-centered presence the Guatemalan energy is carrying, and of course the ancient Maya. And, you know, every time we go down there, Sri and I are very, very blessed, and all of this is coming out in our next book, but we've been very blessed that we've been so accepted by the ancient, and what I mean by the ancient Maya is the ones who are living in the highlands that don't speak English, that have no desire for fame, that have no desire to do anything except truly hold presence for this moment on our planet.
You know, Guatemala is, it was a surprise to us. I think many people are aware of the pyramids in southern Mexico and the Aztec calendar, and of course moving on down into Peru and Machu Picchu and all of that. It's as if the Maya and this legacy in Central and South America are kind of the equivalent of the Himalayas, the counterpart to the Indian and the Rishis and the ancient sages of that continent. And the difference is that we discovered that what appeared to be buried, meaning these ancient civilizations and the teachings, was actually covered by a fertile jungle. And in the fertility of this land, the energy is pristine. You know, there's a couple ways we can go about learning. One is to use our intellect. The other is to use our heart's knowing, our intuitive filter, you would call it. And
yeah.
Guatemala invites us to let go of the mind and reside in a sanctuary of energy that opens up our intuitive connections in a way I've never experienced in other sacred sites. And I've traveled to most of the continents. There is a power emanating here that's caught me off guard.
And, you know, we've anchored, of course, a self-ascension center on the shores of Lake Atitlan down there. And this was the first trip, the one we just got back from, where we actually had the blessing to have students with us and bring them into the same experiences that we've been having over the past 3 years since we've started this work with the Maya and the indigenous. And it was, you know, you ask, was it successful? It was an extraordinary journey that defies words. And the closer we get toward this extraordinary moment in history and the propelling energy that's coming forward toward us in 2012, the more tangible these experiences become, the more important they become, and the greater the heart expands. And so it was really a beautiful gift.
Yes. Well, I think in those areas, they have a very ancient history, and it's always a subject that's interested me. Now, if I remember correctly, Guatemala is amongst one of the poorest nations. But is it possible that in those conditions that they actually are more aware of their spiritual side?
Well, I that's a good way of looking at it. You know, what we discovered down there is the people are smiling.
All the time.
On our first visit. We just didn't understand how poor they were because they were happy. There was this radiance, this countenance. When we would walk down or drive down a dusty lane, people, the locals, would look up and they would radiate a smile. Now,
yes.
In other countries, folks sometimes give you a nod or a wave. These people beamed.
And you know what's really precious, Mike, is that if you sit and you observe, which we do often, I'll watch groups of workers doing what we would just be appalled at as far as hard physical labor, and they're laughing their way through it. And then at lunchtime, you see something that is so beautiful that all of the families come and sit together, whether it's out in the fields, whether it's in the villages, but the whole family comes together, grandparents, parents, and children, and they sit and they laugh and they tell stories and they have their meals together. And even though these meals are always very modest and usually consist of tortillas, and the Guatemalan tortillas are very, very small and they're always made of corn and usually some form of a bean, there is a robustness of light, is the only way I can describe it. I've seen more light pouring out of more eyes and this beauty than I've seen anywhere else. And, you know, when you look at the geographical, remember that Guatemala is in Central America, which is in the heart of the Americas, and Guatemala is in the heart of the heart. And so when you go down there, your heart really only has one choice, and that's either to expand or run away like crazy. It's going to be one or the other.
That is very interesting, and I think when you think back, even in more what we might call more modern countries like the West, it wasn't too long ago when families used to get together in that way, even in these Western countries, but I think it's something that we've lost in recent times.
Well, absolutely. You know, one of the gifts that an agricultural country offers to us are these so-called advanced countries is the reminder that there are essential cycles. There's a connection with nature that is part of our natural beingness. And I'm not saying we all need to run back and go back to the farm or the commune or whatever. What I am suggesting is that when your life is truly governed by the cycles of the sun and the moon, and that you eat foods that were grown close by, there is a health and a vitality that comes to you. But when we live in cities and we're governed by a wristwatch and artificial light, we begin to disconnect from an essential vitality, and thus we become foreign to our own nature.
Yes. Something in your write-up that caught my eye, and I read that together you founded the Aviza Quantum Healing Institute, was that it is to assist students to clear energetic blockages. Now, what are you actually referring to there?
Well, thank you for asking. You know, the first thing I want to offer is that the word that was given to us for this modality, Ave Sa, when we stretch it out, Ave means hail, like the Ave Maria, hail, and Sa, meaning the infinite unknown. So Ave Sa is truly a recognition of the infinite within each being. And the modality and the attunements that are taught are a restoration of soul consciousness to return to the essential core essence that each of us is. And when we, that's kind of an abstraction. What is involved in Ave Sa is to bring people into a state of balance and ascended harmony, and we do this energetically, so that the constrictions, the congestions, the wounds, the scars of doing business in density, have a energetic flow that helps them just lift and drift away. The soul energy, that which we really are, is restorative. It's healing. It's connected. It is a source of infinite peace. And so if we can just encourage a person through the energy modality to come into a higher alignment with their soul, wellness happens. Good things happen.
You know, one of the blessings is that when you ask about energy blockages, we are energy beings living in an energy experience. And so everything we come in contact with, we're constantly having choices around us all day long. And, you know, how many times have you even just walked into a room or someone you know walks into a room and their mood shifts, not because of any interaction, just because of the energy that was there. And so when we can allow our energy field to be clear, when we can allow ourselves to be in this extraordinary crystalline clarity energy all the time, then it's easier to transverse an energy experience without being affected by it.
Indeed, yes. I'm wondering in that case, since you advocate a way to assess healing energies, how would people use them when they access them? Is that the idea, that they become aware of the perhaps the higher energies and find some way of attracting them to themselves?
Well, it's a beautiful question. You know, I think each of us is on a journey of discovering who we really are. And what I mean by that is many people talk about the basic self and the higher self. And
yes,
when they refer to these two selves, what I think most of us are referring to is this personality self, this basic self, that's here and had a history and had a few bumps along life's road. And then there's this higher self, which is your divine self, that's connected to the higher realms and to your Christed energy. Well, what we have come to know is that there really is one self, and that is the higher self. That's who you really are. This other one that you're dancing around with is a playground. It's just a refraction of the truth of who you are. And so by recontextualizing this a little bit, by recognizing that this pure, authentic energy is so available to us if we just unhook our attachment to the friction of the cause and effect world, the friction of density. So Avesa Quantum Healing actually rebalances the chakra system in the ascended state. And to just offer a visual to your listeners, most people think of chakras as whirlpools, you know, swirling whirlpools, vortexes of energy that are associated with the spine. And this is true. However, as one moves into their ascended being, those vortexes begin to balance into a figure eight, an infinite symbol. And we've learned that we're at this time globally where every being is being allowed the opportunity to restore themselves into this ascended state. And that this is truly one of the gifts that's associated with the 2012 energy. And so Avesa Quantum Healing offers the client the opportunity to experience that ascended state firsthand. And that then informs their consciousness. And of course, you always have choice. You can say, well, I'd like to dwell in this state of being, or no, thanks, let me put on my overcoat and get back to work here in ordinary life.
Yes.
You know, life is filled with choices. And the more we can gift each other with opportunities to touch the divine, to touch the ascended state of being, the more informed our choices will be.
And you know, Mike, we have one of our teachers who lives right there in southern England. So if you go to our website, selfascension.com, and click on Maya Ra, tell her that we asked her to give you a balancing and go experience it for yourself.
Right. Repeat the name again, Maya.
Well, you'll find her under coaches.
Under the coaches section of our website, and her name is Maya Ra, and her email's there and everything else.
Okay, I've made a note of that. Yes, I will do. Okay, now, you've mentioned ascension, and actually that is a subject I'd like to hear you talk more about. But is that what you refer to in one of your books when you talk of the journey home?
Well, thank you for asking, and indeed, yes. It is, you know, from the moment we're born, we're on this extraordinary journey. And, you know, when I died in 1989, through my near-death experience, one of the many, many, many blessings that came to me was the absolute knowing that you are here by choice, that you not only stood in line to be on this planet, you probably kicked somebody out ahead of you to make sure you got here. I mean, it was just such an important moment. And when we talk about ascension, and when we look at the journey home, the archangelic realm, Archangel Zadkiel is very, very humorous. And one day Sri Ramka said to Archangel Zadkiel, you know, Zadkiel, talk to me about ascension. And Archangel Zadkiel laughed and laughed and said, when you talk about ascension, we find this very funny, because how can you ascend back to that which you already are? And this is
yes,
why we wish for you to talk about self-ascension. And so we use these words self-ascension because one of the gifts, one of the purposes of being is to remember the truth of who you are without any doubt while you still have a body, while you're still on this planet. And from that moment, all of the energy systems lift up, all of the chakras lift, which is part of what the Ave Sa healing does, and you establish a foundation or a new root center in the heart, which opens up your divine galactic blueprint, which literally opens up a floodgate of wisdom and eternal beingness for all people.
That is certainly something to aim for. Now, what is so important about 2012?
I'm sorry, the 2012 is a little bit of an artificial gatepost. You know, it's like someone pushed a sign in the sand and said, this is the moment.
And of course it was, you know, conspired by so many different prophecies that are all converging at that time.
And so there's a number of levels or layers to unraveling the mystery and meaning of 2012. And in a very brief way, we can suggest that there are a number of astrological and energetic cycles that are converging at this time. And we won't get into all of that other than to say that whenever we shift, have a shift of the ages, as we move from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius, for example, there is an energetic alignment that happens. There is a shift energetically in the astrology and in the orientation of the Milky Way with the greater cosmos. So at that level of discernment, we're not in Kansas anymore, so to speak, you know, taking from the Wizard of Oz, that the entire planet, let alone the entire Milky Way system, is in a different configuration in the sky. Now, let's let go of that and just say, what's it like being in a body walking around here? And what we have noticed in that most people will agree on is that time seems to be speeding up, that people don't sleep the way they used to sleep, that people's lives are accelerating. Many folks are changing jobs, changing relationships, changing houses at a pace that they never anticipated. And in fact, these experiences of the shift or the acceleration of energy, we've compiled a list of, I don't know, 22 or 24 of them at our website. And what we've seen is that they're very commonly experienced among folks, and we call them ascension acceleration energy experiences. Now, what I'm leading up to is that this shift of the ages is offering an energy, is offering a, let's just call it a lift or a stimulation to all beings.
And one of the most important things about 2012 is that I'm sure you're very familiar that it's been a catalyst of emotion. You know, you have lots of doom and gloom prophecy out there. You have lots of people who are talking about, you know, some pretty nasty outcomes at 2012. And a lot of them hide behind the Mayan calendar and say, well, you know, the Mayan calendar is ending. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, when Sri and I meet with the Mayan elders, when we sit with them in the highlands of Guatemala, way out in the remote jungles, and when we talk to them about their calendar, not an interpretation of their calendar, they laugh and they smile and they look at us and they say that they have no fear of the end of this calendar. What they see is that it is the return to a natural balance and a way of living where time will not have the same relevance and that there will be a greater opportunity for light on the planet. And so what we're seeing is this huge rise in fear. Many, many people are very, very afraid. And at the same time, if you can allow yourself the gift of realizing that maybe the fear is there to inspire you to wake up and say, enough, this is not the future I want. I want to co-create a positive tomorrow, and I'm ready to say enough about being brainwashed into what I should believe and start living from my true heart. And so 2012 is a catalyst. It's a powerful catalyst moment. And you know, the final book on 2012 has honestly not been written yet because we all as humanity are still writing it. We're still rediscovering our co-creative power. And so the time is before us to stop talking about it and to actually start walking it. And how we each co-create will dramatically impact the energy of 2012.
Yes. So would it be true to say that we can actually, through our visualization, create a smooth pathway to that period of time, or otherwise a rough one?
Absolutely. I the power of our collective energy has never been greater. But there's a trick to this, because many of us are we're unconscious co-creators. And what I mean by that is we'll take somebody else's vision or somebody else's command and lend energy to it, as opposed to relaxing. I mean, truly surrendering, going inward and finding the energy that is you, the beingness that is the ascended one in you, and from that place hold presence and beam the energy of that divine reconnection out into the world. Because you see, the pictures can change, the images can change, but what is eternal, what is beautiful and stable and peaceful is our divine energy. And that energy supports the creation. And so what I guess the bottom line, what I'm encouraging folks to consider, is to go deeper than they had ever considered going, to relax even more, to trust even more, and find that core essence that will birth a beautiful, beautiful next step.
And you know, Mike, this is really important because right now, this very moment, you know, we're in this powerful energy of this blue moon that heralded our new year. We had a partial lunar eclipse. So we've opened up this multidimensional portal that right now will be open for the next 2 weeks. And January 15th, we're going to be having a new moon full solar eclipse, a very rare event. And the gift of these 2 weeks that are before us, and I love that we're chatting today, is that anyone who wants to can really anchor a greater multidimensional stability and call in that energy, thereby giving themselves much greater assistance over the rapidly escalating energy of the next several years. We are going to head into what I like to call hyperdrive as far as the energy over the next couple of years. And we've been given, we are loved so much that we have been given this window. These next 2 weeks are very, very powerful. And I encourage everyone to really allow yourself to release any doubts that are in there, release any limiting beliefs, and let yourself navigate the energies that are available to you right now. And then that will kind of open, you know, we've opened one end of the bridge, and we're going to have that other end of the bridge reveal itself in the middle of January, because how you anchor your own level of self-trust and divine connection will dramatically affect how you are navigating the next several years.
Right. That's wonderful advice. In generally speaking, are you really referring to your comments talking of people being able to participate in the planet's future? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, what I want to suggest is that when we are in a creative process, meaning we're co-creating how this planet's going to be, there is a period that's kind of the void. Every good creation has that moment of the unknown, where the new order, the new organization isn't fully known. And yet we have to trust our own beingness to move through the void. You might say that humanity as a whole is experiencing a dark night of the soul right now. That as a collective, the destruction, the chaos, the loss of a compass, so to speak, are all indicative of an old system that is in transition. And while each individual person can be a participant, you know, in one little arena of the world, as a whole, there is a great transition underway. And so to walk through the void means we need to trust something essential inside, not just quickly dangle a picture of, here's how it ought to be. Instead, I'm suggesting connect with the love and the truth of who you are, and from that place, a new picture will indeed be presented.
And you know, it's really a question of not only can everyone participate, you already are. Everyone is already participating. The question is, how do you choose to participate, and can you bring that to your consciousness? Because the more that you can be aware of how you are participating, the greater gift you can offer to the collective shift, especially toward the positive. You know, in our global environment, we still, as a collective, have made fear very profitable. And so because fear is very profitable, it is a pervasive energy. And so you can help shift that by becoming conscious of what you want for your world and bringing those positive energies in a co-creative manner to the forefront of everything you do.
And I'm sure that every little helps. People shouldn't feel that they have too little to offer. Now, does this come into your storm training sessions where you talk about seeing the oneness and reclaiming the mastery? Is that what that's all about?
Well, indeed. You know, one of the purposes of a world in transition is for us to find our core. What's essential? What's really important to us? I think anytime a family undergoes hardship, they need to come back to their core values in order to move through it. And so without dwelling on hardship, the quicker we can come to our core, the center of the cyclone, that still place that is offers peace within a turbulent exterior, when we can find that, and there are various techniques and breathing practices and orientations that make it a lot easier to get there. Well, once you anchor there, then we can walk through anything. We're impermeable to the chaos of this fluffy reorganization going on in the outer world.
You know, the beauty of it is that when you're in that center of the storm, it is the quiet place, and you're able from that center to see what's around you. Whereas when you're in it, when you're in the chaos and you're in the drama, it's very, very hard to find your way out. And so, you know, I love the archangelic realm refers to allness, expanding back into oneness, meaning that in this extraordinary world of experience, we're here for experience. And so we had the ability, and we have the ability, to manifest literally whatever we want. This is what they refer to as allness. When we manifest, create, when we pull ourselves out of that picture and see it just from the imperative of the creation, you let go of the judgment, you let go of the good and bad, and you see that to reclaim your mastery, to come back into your oneness, is to find the best of all the experience and to remain in the stillness of the perfection.
Right. Now, you're a really busy bee, I see, reading your write-ups. I wonder whether you actually have any time to rest. But I see that you're actually running something which I think you've possibly recently started, something you call 2012 Quantum Leap Series. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I chuckle, Mike, because truly, when you follow your passion, things do accelerate. And sometimes we lose track of how much is going on because we're just following our passion. 2012 Quantum Leap is a series of events that will offer the public at large an opportunity to participate in a more ascended community, to be with people who are holding positive vision, positive energy, who are literally vibrating at a place of love and trust and offering their creative ideas and their energies from that place. You know, imagine it's one thing to read the newspaper and see mostly a collection of drama. It's another thing to gather at some form of exposition where you have an eclectic, whether it's a New Age conference or a spiritual or event, and you have a whole collection of opinions and ideas from the whole gamut versus a harmonious environment where everyone is saying, I'm here to co-create a positive community, and I'm willing to listen, I'm willing to serve, and I'm willing to share. And that's what the Quantum Leap events are about, is anybody that chooses to align with that will be uplifted.
And the Quantum Leap events were put together as part of the 2012 One Heart Foundation. And the 2012 One Heart Foundation is our foundation that's very, very active in Guatemala and also working with Tibetan refugees in India. And our goal with the 2012 One Heart Foundation is to recognize that the more that we can uplift and work with lineage holders that have been holding the energy for so long, the more that we come back into oneness and can celebrate each other, uplift with each other, and move through this moment in history without a lot of pain and drama.
Yeah, again, I think you're doing some wonderful work there. You're doing what is necessary for the time we are in, and you're clearly very spiritually inspired in what you're doing. Now, talking of 2012 as we are, how do you find the scientists view it? Do they really start to meet at any point with the spiritual concepts?
Well, that's a beautiful question. I think, quantum physics is truly approaching the metaphysical because of that magic realization they had that consciousness affects outcome. But most science is retrospective. Most science is seeking some form of empirical conformity. And so because science tends to be retrospective before it's accepted, it really doesn't do a great job of telling us what's coming. It can prepare us that changes are happening, but I think that what can prepare us better than any form of empirical science or intellectual science is the science of our soul. Now, the ancient rishis from the premillennial, pre-Christ times, were fascinated with why are we here? What is the business of being alive? And they reduced that question down to a basic truth. And that truth, as they described it 3,000 years ago, was that the infinite unknown exists in every being and is discoverable. And that the purpose of life is to have that discovery of your infinite beingness while still in a body, while still alive. And that we found to be so universal and so embracing of the essential truth of why did we take form? Because we are formless at our core. Our essence is a formless energy, and yet we birthed into form here in these bodies. And that's the delicious paradox of being a spiritual being having a human experience. We did this out of joy. Let's enjoy it. Let's celebrate each other. Let's have fun together. Let's make music. Let's dance. Let's create. Let's use these forms in ways that are wholesome, constructive, and expand the joy of spirit in form.
I think you can sum that up by saying, let's be happy. Now, I have a soft spot for Atlantean times. I love reading where it's available, information about that period of time. Now, you refer to it in one of your books. Do you relate that to what we're going through at the present time?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we first revealed this in our first book on 2012 called 2012, You Have a Choice. And then, of course, our other book on 2012, 2012 Atlantean Revelations, has an enormous amount of information on this. And one of the many, many gifts is that, you know, Sri and I, you asked us early on about, you know, the continuation soulmates. Sri and I were together at the very, very end moments of that existence. And that is part of why we reunited at this moment in history on this planet right now. And when we allow ourselves the recognition that we have indeed had a an extraordinary experience of life with great technological advances and other advances, more, quite frankly, more amazing than we've already brought forward on this planet in this lifetime. When you can connect with that, and when those soft spots, as you mentioned, or those knowings come forward, part of why you are here on this planet in this moment right now is to make sure we don't destroy ourselves again. We have brought ourselves, we've kind of done this all before. This is like the ultimate deja vu moment. And there are many, many, many of us on the planet right now who are very aware that this is a deja vu moment, and that's why we're working. You know, Sri and I, Mike, this is a 24/7, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. This is our life because we're that passionate about this planet and that passionate about humanity. We are at the forefront of whether or not we will go forward or whether or not we won't. And the choice is really up to everyone who's on the planet.
Yes, I think that's absolutely wonderful work you're doing there. It's possible that a lot of people have some doubts about the history relating to the Atlantean period, but you're evidently saying that you believe in reincarnation.
It's not a matter of belief, it's a matter of knowing.
You know, and I want to say that for me, the knowing comes from my near-death experience with absolute knowingness. You know, I always share with people, you know, they had to kill me to wake me up. And I pray that nobody goes through that. But I was one thick cookie. And in my near-death experience, the one thing is, you know, as I mentioned earlier, not only did you choose to come to this planet, but I was so clearly guided through the reasons that we come to certain planets and that the eternal limitless gift of our soul is constantly having these experiences in form, because how else can light, light expands, love expands. And so when love loves love so much, there is this need for expansion and this gift of experience that adds to the greater collective consciousness. And so, yes, not only do I in my heart know of reincarnation, it's one thing that the archangelic realm cautions us about. And what the archangelic realm cautions us about is, remember that past lives are just that. They're past. They're an opportunity to literally collect that which was the best of that lifetime, collect the energy of that lifetime to manifest in this lifetime now. And that the danger happens when people get lost in a past life. You know, the past is just that, it's past. And when you live in that past life energy, you negate the present experience.
Now, that said, I do want to offer that one of our gateways to freedom is to have a greater context for our present life. You know, when you're in the, you can't see the forest for the trees, so to speak, when you're really in the thick of your living, it's hard sometimes to gain perspective. And if you can pretend you're at 10,000 feet at the top of a mountain looking down at your life, we start to gain perspective on things. We begin to make wiser choices when we detach a little bit. And what I'm referring to is moving into a more transcendent consciousness. Well, as one begins to transcend the day-to-day, to move into a wider context, it's very easy then to start seeing the energies and the interplay of energies from these other experiences that we call past lives. I don't think it matters whether people believe in them or accept them as much as it matters whether people trust themselves.
Right, yes.
You know,
now, we're having such an enjoyable time here. I have to say time is flying by. I would like to give you couple of minutes or so to tell our listeners your two website addresses and any other information you'd like to give about those websites.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I would invite everyone, come and join us at www.shri.com. And that's our free online magazine. This is a huge site filled with videos and articles, opportunities for you to write, opportunities for you to connect with other people. And like I mentioned, it's just sriandkira.com. And then, of course, our other website is selfascension.com, which is a primary website that will teach you a lot about self-ascension. It also has on there, on both of these websites, we have literally close to 1,000 pages of free archangelic messages. All of the discourses are on there. They're named by series. You know, go on there, get the messages, learn, read, give yourself the gift of this moment. And, of course, all of our books are available on both websites, or you can just Google Sri and Kira, and you'll find whatever, you know, or Sri, Ramkan, Kira, Ra, and all of our books will come up or anything like that. I really invite everyone to give themselves the gift of allowing yourself to trust yourself in this new year. I just really can't stress enough that we're at a divine moment where the more that you can anchor your heart, the easier this time will be. And I would pray that if you visit our sites, you'll find that gift readily available for you to take advantage of.
Yes. So, fine, thank you. Did you mention that you have TV links as well, I believe, on your website?
We do. And there's several, and there's quite a bit of info. I mean, there's just so much there. You could spend hours.
You could poke around there. There's a few little videos at YouTube, and there's a lot more coming. We're in a video era, I
think.
Seems
to be in the video age right now, to say the
Absolutely.
Least.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we're excited. We're going to be coming your way in July. We're actually going to be coming over to the UK again, so we're very excited to come visit.
Are you? Well, I shall keep an eye on your website to see when you're coming.
Thank
and,
you.
And whether I can connect with you at the time.
That would be a beautiful gift, and I'm serious about connecting with one of our coaches, Maya Ra. She was just with us in Guatemala and has taken all of our trainings and is a certified self-ascension coach and an Avesa quantum healer. And, you know, really quite an amazing gift to watch the work of self-ascension and Avesa quantum healing spread around the world. You know, we're at a moment of divine upliftment, and the more that we can each empower our heart as to a truth center of divine wisdom, the faster we're going to see the miracle of ourselves unfold on this planet.
Well, wonderful. Have you got a final message for our listeners? Because I take the last minute or so of the program to announce next week's guest.
Well, we thank you for this invitation, and to each and everyone listening, I would encourage you all to take this very moment, bring your hand to your heart, and take a deep breath. And in that deep breath, to trust the love that you truly are, to connect with a sense of knowingness that all is truly well, and that your life is important, and you make a difference.
And so it is.
Right. Thank you very much, Sri and Kira. It's been wonderful speaking with you. I'm sure all of our listeners have loved to hear what you have to say, so thank you very much for coming onto the program. So I will quickly announce next week's guest, who is Dr. Michelle Galanti. I'm waiting confirmation that everything's still okay, but he is into healing, which is based on Bruno Gröning's Circle of Friends, which goes back, I believe, to the 40s. Very interesting person, in addition to Dr. Michelle Galanti, who is also going to bring along one of his successful healings, a person called Neil McCoy. So thank you for being with me today. It's been a wonderful interview, and I do hope you can join me next week. God bless you all.